Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to the Gray Matter
Show.
Welcome to the Gray Matter Show. The Gray Matter Show is an apostolic broadcast designed to stimulate your mind and activate your consciousness to a new level of spiritual acuity. Listen now for an on-time relevant word to enlighten, strengthen, and empower you to achieve greater spiritual success in your life. Here's your host, Apostle Norma Gray.
All right, absolutely. Good evening, everyone. It is Wednesday, a couple of days before Thanksgiving. Well, certainly it is our last show before Thanksgiving, and we are grateful for those of you that have come to spend an evening with me. I got my little candle lit, and atmosphere is set, and just to have some dialogue about what the Spirit of the Lord is saying, what we hear, what we need to be actively doing prophetically. And, you know, I'm set for a great night. I see that many of you have already dialed in, and I pray that some of you that have dialed in with your questions, with your comments about what the Spirit of the Lord is revealing to you. I've had such a great increase in our call out for seers on Monday night. In fact, let me just bring my co-host in on that. Pamela, how are you this evening?
I am doing very well, Apostle. How are you this evening?
I'm doing well. I tell you, I got some, this is certainly an evening set. I got my V8 juice here. I decided to have V8, as the commercial says. Got my candle lit. And I was sharing that our session for seers on Monday nights has greatly increased. And some of the feedback that I've been getting is that people just need to know that they're not crazy, and that what the Spirit of the Lord is revealing to them is valid, and that it has relevancy. And so I've been seeing a lot of that come forth on our Monday night calls. For those of you that are just tuning in or have no idea what we're talking about, on Monday nights, every Monday night at 9 o'clock p.m., unless the Spirit of the Lord tells us not to do it, we host a call just for those who consider themselves seers. You may be saying, well, how do I know? How do I know if I'm a seer or not? Well, the Bible says before there were prophets, they were called to be seers. And so the agenda for seers would be much like in line with those who are prophets, but the difference would be, I would say, that there would be a greater intensity on what you see in visions, and what you can see, even in what you hear. Okay, you got to be able to see what you hear. The Bible says in Habakkuk, he says, "And I will stand upon my watch, and I will wait to see what he's saying." That is a mighty, integral apparatus, the ability to see what you hear. Those are, I would say, those are the trademarks of one who is a seer, to have the ability to look into something and to be able to revelate it into something that is visible, tangible, something that we can take and apply. Because the reason God is showing many of you, and myself included, the things that he's showing us is not for knowledge's sake. Although there will be some things that, you know, he will deposit to us that's just for knowledge's sake. But in the end times, God is strategically releasing those things that will give us the advantage of how to make it through, okay? There's a great need for us to know how to navigate spiritually, because the conditions of present day world are so convoluted. It's so messy, foggy. It is contaminated. We got a lot of things going on, and not only in the world, but primarily as well in the church. And there's so much going on that we need to know how to navigate. We need to know how to move through those things. And particularly in the church, Pamela, can you see a difference in what you see presently about the church that you didn't see 20 years ago?
Oh, yes, Apostle. The atmosphere of the church now is, and I shared this with you one time before, it's like the body of Christ comes to the church wanting to receive from God, which is what we come for, but they don't come to serve. The body is not in a position of, you know, operating as sons, where we are here to do the work of the ministry. We're here to do the work that Christ has called us to. And it's like there's a shift in us. All we want to know, you know, God, how many houses you're going to give me? How many cars you're going to give me? Who's going to be my husband? Who's going to be my wife? Who, you know, how can I get this from God? How can I get that from God? Instead of going in and serving him and reverencing him and worshiping him and showing adoration to him, it's more about what God's going to do for me. I'm here now, God. What you going to do for me? And that atmosphere that's in the house, it's sad to say, it's like it's, you know, it needs to be changed, of course, but it needs to be like it needs to be dealt with from the leadership. It needs to be dealt with from the pastors and the apostles. The fivefold ministry needs to deal with it. And that's why I thank God for the Seers Network, you know, and having and a place where they can come and receive truth and get instruction and get understanding. You know, the Bible says in Amos 3:7 that surely the sovereign Lord does nothing without revealing his plan to his servants, the prophets. So
absolutely.
The prophets are seeing, but they're not understanding what they're seeing. And they need that instruction, you know, but having someone they can say, Apostle, I saw this and I'm not sure what I'm seeing. What is this? You know, it's something in the council, a multitude of council. So it's good that we have this opportunity where the seers can come together and learn and get impartation and mentoring and understanding what, you know, what God is saying. And more than this, this has been my prayer, Apostle, for the last several months, that the mouths of the prophets would speak what God is saying, because the relief what God is saying in the earth, we're not speaking, you know, what God is saying. We're kind of holding this word in because we don't want to deal with the confrontation, because some of the words that are coming out are not really easy words, and they're not something that people want to hear, but they're needful. The hours now that we get to speak forth the mysteries of the gospel with boldness and declare what thus says the Lord, even if it's not, you know, maybe what people want to hear, but we got to do what God has called us to do. So I do see that there's a shift, but our prayer is that God will begin to raise up that army of people, that remnant of people that will obey, hear and obey and do what God has called them to do.
Absolutely. You know, let's just start there tonight with that scripture where, you know, that you just quoted from Amos that says, for surely the sovereign God. And we really have to turn our attention to not so much the God of the 21st century, but the sovereign God. I think, again, as you mentioned, Pamela, that we have begun to display or put on display a God that doesn't line up with the God of the Bible. You know what I mean? We put on display the God who wants you to be rich and not broke. Absolutely. He does want us to be prosperous and not broke. We put on display the God who wants us to be happy, have great marriages. Absolutely. The Lord does. But we get away from the God of the Bible that is about order, is about holiness, that is about righteousness, that is about vindication, that is about judgment. We forget about the whole God of the Bible. And that's one of the things that we got to get back to is the, you know, the God who reigned in Genesis, you know, the God who reigned in the book of Judges, the God who reigns in Revelation. And we forget about that. And you're right, Pamela, the onus of that falls on the leadership of the 21st century church, but because, and I hope that you all are you know, are having your ears tuned. And again, those of you that are listening, go ahead and text someone, tweet someone, post that you're listening to The Gray Matter with Apostle Gray, and we're talking about prophetic things. We're talking about the things that are going to move the body of Christ into proper, perfect alignment. And so, again, the you know, it is the present day leadership that has silenced the voice of the prophets. Literally, you know, if you're not some, and here's the difference, okay? You know, there are people that can speak prophetically. You know, they can have a prophetic sound or tone, or can release something in a way that makes you think it's prophetic, but being a prophet is not who they are. Okay, let me just say that again. You know, when you look at some of the major voices that are being released in the earth, okay, they're a name, they're an entity, but they don't stand in the office of the prophet. And that's one area that we have just failed to scrutinize. That's one area we have failed to keep under watch and check. For example, and I'm just going to use this for an example, and if you want to argue or debate with me, we can, and even if you can, you know, you want to let this person know that I said it, you certainly can. Let's look at T.D. Jakes. He goes by Bishop, and those of you that, you know, have been part of our teaching, you understand that the bishop's responsibilities are also in line with the pastor's responsibilities. So as it relates to the fivefold ministry gifts, one would say that he fits into the office of the pastor, okay? However, whenever he releases something, many people will receive it as a prophetic truth, but he is not called to be the prophet to the body of Christ, okay? So just think about that. You have an entity that is supposed to operate by the apostles, prophets, evangelists, pastors, and teachers. That's the way God set up the body of Christ. However, the voice that we're listening to identify as a prophetic voice or as the word of the prophet, we're taking it from the pastors, okay? And for that reason, you know, pastors have got to open up the door for the prophets stand in their proper place so that they can deliver what God desires to deliver. Now, does it mean that a pastor or a bishop or apostle or evangelist can't ever give a word directly from the Lord? Absolutely they can. But God set it up. The way he set it up is for the prophets to function. And because there's been such a, you know, really the spirit of Jezebel, you know, we don't really want to talk about this, but the spirit of Jezebel has caused the gift to the body of Christ, the prophet, to be, when if you look at who the prophets of that Jezebel killed during her lifetime, I would dare to say that it's been quadrupled, that where prophets have been made to feel unwanted, unvalued, and there's no release of that. If you look at the vast majority of churches, you know, we got choir singing and we got, you know, we got dancers, but where are dancers dancing? But where is the time for the prophet? Not the pastor, not the bishop, the prophet to speak, okay? And because of this, we are tying the hands of God, if you will. So we have to get back to teaching the God of the Bible. You know, the God who told, you know, Gideon what to do so that the armies fell on their own sword. We've got to begin to teach the whole of the Bible, not just things that make us feel good to, you know, to get us through this time and season. God wants to get you through this time and season, but he wants to do it through revelation, truth, and insight. Okay, that's how he led his people from the very beginning. Even the wicked kings sought the prophets. In the beginning, even those who, you know, had no intentions. Nebuchadnezzar had no intentions to follow God, but he understood he needed to listen to the voice of the prophet. And so what I'm saying is that we have caused the prophets in seasons past, because I believe that we've entered into an uprising. And so in seasons past, the prophets have been dismissed from church and not allowed and made to feel, you know, unwanted. And so many, true prophets have just said, you know what, y'all can have a church. Just go ahead and do what you want to do. When I want a good dance or I want a good shout, you know, I'll go. And that's what happens. You know, you can go to church. You can go to church and have a good time. I mean, dance and shout and feel tingly and all of that. And that, and you know, I do believe that that's a part of it. But there's not been a prophetic release. You know, there's not been the voice of what God has to say in every, listen, we do it in our prayer time. So why is it any less during our worship time? During our prayer time, we are taught, or you should, if those of you that haven't, you know, you're taught to enter into, first of all, to, you know, to repent, you know, ask God to forgive you and cleanse you so that nothing prohibits. I don't know why I feel like I'm teaching this tonight. Maybe somebody needs to hear this. So, you know, the way we approach God, you know, you need to ask God for forgiveness, wash and cleanse you. That's why the priest did that before they even entered into the holies of holies. There was a basin there. You need to wash yourself, cleanse yourself, make sure. Are you a practicing sinner? No, I don't practice sin. I don't, you know, get up in the morning and say, I'm just going to go sin. But if I've done something to me not to be heard in the audience of God, that's what that time is for. So when you approach God, you want to approach God cleansing yourself. And then the next thing is that you adore him. You give him adoration. You worship him. You tell him who he is. He loves worship. Come on now. The Lord loves worship. He loves it. He loves it when you speak well of him. Okay. And, you know, again, you know, as you're worshiping the Lord, you're creating and putting on the garments of praise. And so after you've entered into that place, you make your petition known. Father, this is what I'd like you to do. I'd like you to touch the earth, and I'd like you to protect all of our children. They're in school today. And I love, Father, for you to, you know, keep back the hand of the enemy today. So you make your petition known. And after you've made your petition known, then you thank him for that. Father, we thank you. We adore you. We just stand in agreement that what we have asked for is already done. And then after you have done all of that, prayer is a dialogue. You wait to see. You wait to hear, what is he going to say? Will he say something every time? I don't know, you know, but for me, I'm determined to wait until I get an answer. That's me. I don't want to just throw some prayers and some wishes and desires at God and give him no opportunity to say, yay, nay, normal, you're off, that ain't what I want, or either directly into, you came to me asking me for apples, but I want to give you some oranges. You understand? And so the same way it's set up for us to enter in our prayer life, we ought to have that same setup as we enter in and worship God in our church setting. Okay, we need to leave a space for God to speak, not just a good message. Okay, I can get a good message. I know how to do it. I know how to, you know, put it together and make it sound good. I know how to do that. But it's irrelevant if the voice of God is not released. And so therefore, there has to be a return of the God of the Bible and opportunity given to the prophets to release what God has said to them. We need to welcome. We need to make our atmosphere conducive. So what does that mean, to make an atmosphere conducive for the prophets? It doesn't mean that, you know, if you're a pastor, that you have to allow any and everybody, you know, to come through your pulpit that says, thus saith the Lord, or I got a word. No, absolutely not. You know, that if you don't, first of all, I think that you should have a prophet that resides in the ministry. All fivefold gifts should be in operation, in my opinion, in the ministry. So there needs to be an identified vessel who walks in that particular office. Does it mean they got a word every Sunday? I don't think so. But they need to be in attendance. They need to show up. The Bible says that when we gather in a meeting in Corinthians, you know, all don't prophesy at the same time. Let two or three prophesy and let somebody else interpret. The interpreter is good to be able to say, that's not God. That doesn't line up with the scripture. That's not God. We miss that element, okay? We miss that. I don't know, in some settings, we miss that. There's only probably been two times in my entire 30-some-odd years of ministry when I had to stand up and tell somebody that's not God. I think only twice. And they weren't a prophet. They were operating as a teacher one of them was operated as a teacher, another was a pastor, and I had to bring correction to that. But for the most part, I've never seen it where people stood up and said, that's not God. You know, when I was coming up, if your shout didn't look holy, they would sit you down. Forget about a word. If your dance didn't look like it was holy, you know, they would have the usher, the pastor would have the usher sit, nah, sit her down, sit him down. That's not God. That ain't godly. You know, we had the seers, glory to God. We had the seers in the house, and they knew what was appropriate for the house of God and what was not. And so we need to absolutely get back to the God of the Bible. We're talking tonight, those of you that are just joining us, we're talking about Amos chapter 3, where it says, and the sovereign Lord says, let's open that. Pam, can you open that scripture up? I love that particular version that you're reading from. Can you read that for us?
I sure can. It's Amos 3:7, and it says, surely the sovereign Lord does nothing without revealing his plans to his servants, the prophets.
Okay, so you got to have a confidence in that. I have a great confidence in surely our sovereign Lord says, I'm not going to do anything in the earth, okay? I've given you, listen, God is not a Indian giver. And I don't even like that term. So he's not a hypocrite. He's not going to give you something to take it back. Okay. That's not the purpose. That's not what he does. He gave us the earth. He gave us dominion over it. And because we have dominion over it, he respects that line of authority. And he says, listen, surely I will not do anything in the earth until I reveal it, until I reveal my secrets to my servants who are the prophets. Secrets to servants who are prophets. Secrets to servants. Who are the prophets? These are the individuals that God is sharing with. These are the individuals that God is whispering to. And it behooves us to hear what the Spirit of the Lord is saying to the church. Every church, good, bad, or indifferent, in the book of Revelation got the same exhortation. He that hath an ear, let him hear. Okay? If that's you tonight, if you've had up a barricade, if you've had up some resistance, if you've been unsure, if you got an ear, it's time to hear, okay? It's time to hear what the Spirit of the Lord is saying to the church. I know that there are some of you that really want to just push this message off. Look, the gospel message is what the world needs to get. They need to be saved. We need to preach Jesus Christ, him born, crucified, buried, rose again. They need salvation. They need the gospel. The church, yes, we still need to teach the gospel in the church because some people have no clue. They join an entity and they're a part of it and have no clue what the gospels are. That they don't know Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, and how even those are tied into Old Testament, have no clue because folks don't go to Sunday school, they don't go to Bible study. They just go to church. And what you hear in church is 10%. You get maybe about 10% of word, and the other 90% is fluff and pomp and stamp. And so how can you live on 10%? You can't. You can't survive spiritually. Man does not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceedeth out of the mouth of God. Listen, we got to get back to that place where we are assured that God is delivering to us that life-sustaining, spiritual-sustaining word. I need it. There has to be such a desire from the prophets now to say, speak, Lord, for your servant hears. Speak, Lord, for your servant hears. I taught on our senior session on Monday about Samuel and, you know, how that came about. Some people don't even remember or realize that Samuel was, you know, his mama was Hannah, you know, one who cried unto the Lord. So Samuel, as a prophet, was birthed out of a cry. He was birthed out of a desire. And there are many of you that are, you know, that the Lord is awakening in this hour, that you're being birthed out of a cry for righteousness. You're being birthed out of a cry to align the church. And because of that, you know, you got to say, Lord, speak, 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 Lord, speak, Lord, speak, speak to me. Here I am. You know, Eli told Samuel, he said, listen, because the first time God began to speak, you know, Samuel didn't get it. He didn't understand what it was. because he wasn't being reared. He wasn't being reared. I want you to hear me. He wasn't being reared to be a prophet. He was being reared to be a priest, but he was a seer.
Yes.
And so for that reason, he had no clue. So when God first started talking to him, you know, he thought it was the priest calling him. And the priest said, you know, at first the priest thought that Samuel was just hearing things. But eventually, because the priest knew, listen, I may not be a prophet, but I know when God is talking. And so the Bible says Samuel came back and Eli told him, said, listen, the next time you hear that voice, you say, speak, Lord, for thy servant hear it. Okay? Those of you that are prophets, you need to release that in your life. Stop having up barriers that prevent you from hearing what the Spirit of the Lord is saying. Okay, maybe you've been rejected. Maybe folks thought you were crazy. Most prophets, people will think you are strange, weird, and they don't want nothing to do with you. I mean, they will, you know, they will just, you'll wear that label. Come on, let's look at those throughout Scripture who were called to be prophets. They were not regular people, and they didn't hang out with regular people. That's one of the things, I tell you, that's one of the things I look for. If you tell me you're a prophet, but you at every concert, you at every gathering, you in the mall, you not saying that you can't go shopping, but the vast majority of your time you spend with other people, around a lot of people, that's an indication to me that you know, maybe you just easily can pick up a prophetic tone, but you're not a prophet, because prophets don't hang out like that. Mm-mm. Now, again, I go out, but I'm not the one that's at everything. You know, my environment, I'd rather be home in the atmosphere that I know is conducive for the Lord to be able to speak. Because as a prophet, you ought to be ready to deliver the word of the Lord anytime. So that requires you to have a mandate of strict ritual, okay? Strict ritual will help you to identify. Pam, I know you got a question or comments, so I'm going to let you into our conversation.
Well, you know, possibly I'm sitting here listening to what you're saying, and I want to encourage the audience as well. If you have any questions or comments that you want to ask Apostle Gray about the prophetic, or it would be something that maybe you have had a question in your mind, that maybe an experience that you've gone through, and you know it was a prophetic experience, but you're not sure what it is, I want to encourage you to give us a call tonight. I want you to dial 347-843-4967 and then press number 1 to alert us, to let us know that you have a question, and we'll most definitely bring that question to the forefront. But I wanted to bring up, possibly, you said a minute ago about how you know, when you're a prophet, you seem to be strange. You know, you're not, you know, people, you know, they don't act, you know, they don't act, maybe they don't hang around, and not really, it'd be wild thing. But what I was going to bring out, was going to ask you, you know, when a person that has a strong prophetic anointing on their life, they feel odd or feel out of place, and they may not understand why they are that way. How can you advise that person, you know, to really embrace who God has called them to be, and not feel, you know, because it's like almost like they feel condemned that they are the way they are. Like they don't know how to, they know that they are different because God has called them, but they almost feel like condemned, like, you know, I'm just, why can't I just fit in? Why can't I just go to the family dinner and sit in the corner and without having to say, you know, why can't I just do those things? And it's because of the call of God. But can you just share a little bit about, you know, for a person who feels that way, you know, that why they, you know, need to embrace who they really are and who God's called them to be.
Absolutely. Very good, Pam. Very good analogy, because I will tell you, and I'm looking over the board. I think my mom's on the line, and if she is, I'm going to put her on the spot. She's going to be like, oh, my God, don't put me on the spot. So get ready, Mom. I see your number there. I'm going to come to you. So I hope you're in a place that you can talk. You can talk. She's checking on her daughter, and I appreciate that. Been experiencing some things. But a good question, a good analogy, Pamela, because when you are a prophet, there will be things that everybody else is doing that you just don't want to do. You don't want to participate. You don't want to you don't want to be around, you know, the cookout where, you know, everybody, that's just not your environment. But there are, and when you go, you stick out like a sore thumb. So here's the thing, when you're that person, you got to press into the place where your desire for God outweighs your desire for anything. You got to want God as much as you want your next breath. You got to want what God, and again, it's not the, I'm not, you know, I didn't chase the gift. I didn't chase the call. I was a God chaser for real. You know, I wanted God more than I want, and still do, more than I want anything else. I just want God. And so when you're in that place and you're seeking after God, it won't matter to you that you stick out and feel different. And in fact, it'll be so much so that when you hear somebody say that it won't even faze you. You'll be like, why would they think that? Because you are so focused on, where does God want me to be? Lord, do you want me to be at this cookout? Because if you want me to be at this cookout, then I know you got purpose for me. And sometimes it's just about you showing up. It's not about you doing anything, performing anything, saying anything. It really is about you showing up. And when I was in my teens and 20s and up until, I didn't understand it. I didn't understand my prophetic gift. And I did some things that were extremely religious, you know, as it related to what Pam's just saying, you know, showing up at family functions and not being happy, or either not showing up. And that's not how you deal with it either. And so I learned through, and no, I didn't have anybody to walk me through, which is why I love mentoring and tutoring those who are called to be seers and prophets, because I didn't have anybody to tell me, this is how you deal with that. You know, don't walk down that religious path of, you know, isolating yourself and putting on this cloak on you that makes you so untouchable. No, the Lord wants us, he wants us to be able to be accessible. You know what I mean? When Elijah got missing, the Bible says that, you know, they sent for him. They was like, look, go find him. If he up in the woods, I need a word, go find him. Go identify, go pull him from where he is. But if that's you, if you're saying, look, I you know, I feel weird, I feel unwanted, I feel, if that's you, then there is a place in God that you can embrace so much so that none of that matters. He is everything. He is so fulfilling. He will fulfill you to the point and to the place where you will never compare yourself with anybody else ever again, ever. Okay, and you got to get to that place where he is. I think it was David said, where he is all in all. And remember, it used to be a song that says, God is, I know Pamela don't remember, she probably remember who used to sing it, God is my all and all. I want to think of this, James Cleveland, and sing that song. You got to get to that place where God is your all and all. And when you get there, He shifts your thinking, that you don't think about comparison. You don't think about your place of rejection. All you will think about is, God is my all in all. And now, and as you go, as you begin to move, yes, there are times when I have to personally adjust that again. Okay. Yep. God still, yep, you still my all in all, God. When you have to deliver words that are unfavorable and you judge the outcome even before you give the word. Okay, how many of y'all do that? You judge the outcome. The Lord says to say something, and before you can even deliver the word, you already said, like Jonah, you know what I mean? You already judge. Well, I know those people, so and so, so and so, so and so, and you are ready to the end. You haven't even delivered the word yet. And I've done that, but you got to go and say, God is my. He's my everything. He's my all in all. And in that place, certainly you won't have to contend with whether or not you're different, whether or not you are isolated. You don't want to do that. In fact, prophets don't even think they think their life is so. This is the way it's supposed to be, and everybody else is different. But that's a whole nother side of it. But it really is a lifestyle, and not something that you're doing to try to prove to people that you are prophetic or that you are a prophet. Again, if you're on the line and you already have a question, we'll certainly love to hear from you tonight. I'm going to go to this line. I think this is my mom's line, and just want you to share, Mom, a little bit about growing, you know, having a daughter that is prophetic. How you doing this evening, Mother?
Mother is doing great. How are you doing today?
I'm doing good. Thank you so much for. I know you called in to check on your daughter that's been going through some things. I know that's why. But while I have you though, as a mother that gave birth to prophetic children, can you just share a little bit about what that was like for you to see, to have your daughter see things and say things at a very early age?
Well, I guess when you're not really living righteous yourself and not where you ought to be, it's kind of scary. Now as I look back, it should have been a great time in my life had I been positioned and postured myself where I should have been. But I know that when you are going through some things with God and the prophetic and all of that, I know now to withdraw as well. And that's why when I know you're going through and I know you don't feel like talking or don't want to talk because you're in a place wherein you can't talk. And as I said, the human side of me, it hurts. But the spiritual part of me knows that that's your destiny and your purpose.
Amen. One of the greatest prophetic words that I have received, you all, I want you to know I got that word from my mom. I taught in our church and was teaching on the prophetic, and I gave them an assignment, you know, and the assignment was to identify, you know, a prophetic word that you were either given or experienced, and it came to pass. And out of the class of about 20, of which my mom was one, when I read her word, it was about me, and I will never forget that, because it was such affirmation and confirmation. And so those of you that may not have a biological mom that can affirm you, I want to say you have to get to a place where there are those who will affirm you, those who will validate, those who will support, you know, even as she was saying that, you know, there were some things that she wished back then could have given aid or support to. You want to find individuals that will at least, you know, hold you up. Maybe they don't understand. Maybe they don't understand what's happening in your life because you don't understand. But at least they can support you and say, I'm praying for you. I don't know what you're going through. I can't relate to this, but I can pray for you. Maybe for some of you, that's your pastors. Maybe your pastor really has an inability to groom you as a prophet. But at least they can still say, you know what, sis, but I love you and I'm going to love you through this. And they'll begin to be able to point you into the direction of those that can undergird you, spiritually. Pamela, do you see any other questions? Thanks, Mom, so much. I appreciate you. Any other questions, Pamela, from anyone online?
No, ma'am. I don't see any other questions. I'm going to check. I'm still looking at the board, but I don't see any questions. But I do still want to encourage you, if you have a question, please feel free to give us a call here at the Gray Manor Show so that we can answer those questions. Again, the number is 347-843-4967. And just press number 1 and alert us to let us know that you do have a question or comment.
Absolutely. And if you're really shy and don't want to talk, you absolutely can ask your question online through Facebook. Right there on my page, you'll see where it says we're on the air live now. And just above that, you'll see, do you have a question? I certainly, I like to talk, but I love dialogue. I love being able to help and assist those in the body of Christ. So what is the Spirit of the Lord saying in this hour? What is God's mindset? There are several things. As I teach, you know, not any one person gets everything. Not any one individual, not one denomination, not one fivefold function in the body of Christ gets everything. Yes, the apostles are called or listed first and have a great responsibility, but they don't get everything. They definitely still need the prophets, the evangelists, pastors, and teachers. Okay? So, but with that said, let me just share with you what God, overall, there are several major, I don't want to call them threads, but several major categories, if you will, that God is dealing with. And the number one category, if I had to list them in number of importance, and that is the alignment of the church. In that, in his desire for that, there are many things that he's speaking to, okay? He is speaking, the bride must become ready. She absolutely must become prepared. And in that preparation is the responsibility of the prophets to stand and to deliver what's necessary in making the bride ready. The prophets have a specific assignment to help get the bride ready. And so that's why many of the prophets, you know, get words of alignment. They say they get words of correction. They say they get words of warning. Got it. Absolutely. Because there's an urgency. Okay. And God does not, the Bible says he's not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. And that is the heart of God. And so with that, his desire is for his bride to be ready. So I want you to think about that, the bride to be ready, okay? Nobody wants to go to a wedding and a bride is late, you know, that, you know, no, okay? So I want you to think in terms of the urgency of why you have to get in position, and that is because the Father desires for his church to be adorned properly, no wrinkle, any such thing, and whatever that means. So even if, let's delve into that for a moment, because we know that prophetic releases should be words of exhortation, words of encouragement, words that uplift, okay? But what do you do when you get a word that doesn't seem to be an uplifting word? What do you do when you get a word that seems to be condemning or judgmental? What do you do with that? You have to process it and really begin to ask. First thing I would do is begin to ask the Lord, if I'm a young prophet, this is what I would do. Begin to ask the Lord, okay, Father, you have shown me this. Now, what do I do with it? Because just because he's shown it to you doesn't mean that it's your place to reveal it. It may be for you to take it to a senior prophet and say, this is what the Lord has shown me, or this is what I hear the Spirit of the Lord saying, and allow them to judge it and see if they'll bring it forth. Whether it's in a church service, if you're in a church service and, you know, the Spirit of the Lord comes on you heavenly and he gives you a warning that says, woe unto that, whatever that is, you know, what I would do as a young prophet, I would certainly make motion to an usher or someone to get the attention of the pastor and let them know I have a word. And, you know, I've done that before. And I don't think I've ever done it outside of the house of my development, which is the Born Again Church of God in Christ. And because of because of the relationship that I had with the pastor, and what I mean by that is that, you know, I served him, he could trust me. And I was faithful. I showed up, you know, not just to preach, but I was a member to push the ministry. And because of that, he respected that, and he would always at least give his ear. He would always at least, you know, I would have an opportunity to go to the pulpit and share what the Spirit of the Lord was saying. And, you know, I can't remember a time when he didn't say, but I do remember his inability to say it exactly the way God gave it to me. Okay. But that's off of me. I said and submitted that word to the Lord, I mean, to the man of God, and he decided to say it the way he said it, okay? And when I was younger, I judged that very harshly, because I said, how could someone change the word of the Lord? By whose authority do you have to change what God has said or is saying? And then as I matured and developed, I understood that, you know, there were times when you need your words to be seasoned, okay, and that your delivery of how God is saying a thing or who is delivering that word is important. And so if God has given you a warning, you need to really ask God, you know, what do I do with this? Do I submit this? Do I just blurt it out? Because if you just become a person just blurting out warnings, like, for example, last week we had Babette and Robin. And when I thought about that over the week, I'm like, are you serious? Batman and Robin. But anyway, Robin, all she got on the line and all she wanted to do was speak in tongues. First of all, that's out of order, non-scriptural. You know, the Bible does not tell us how to operate. The Bible does not encourage us, should I say, to operate that way. And when she got on the line, the first thing she did was start to talk about destruction and warning. Okay? Her message is not received because of her methodology. Okay? So it doesn't mean, maybe she does have a legitimate warning. I'm not saying that she doesn't, but the way she is going about delivering that word, her methodology is completely off. And then even that distorts, changes, and nullifies the message. Okay? The way you handle what God has given you can cause people to reject it. And it's not the people, it's you. And so as one who is going to be a deliverer or a one who is standing in the office of the prophet, you have to make sure that your methodology, the way you deliver things, does not avert people to what God wants them to hear. God wants them to hear you. He wants them to hear the word of the Lord. But, you know, if they can't hear you because of your methodology, then you have just canceled out the word of the Lord. Does that make sense, Pam? Is it making sense? Because I'm hoping that it's making sense as it's coming out my mouth.
Yes, ma'am, it is. And I'm glad you brought it out, because a lot of times it is, like you said, it's a delivery. It's how you're delivering it. You can have a word, even when it's a sweet word, if you're delivering it harshly, they can't hear the sweetness of whatever God's trying to say to them, because we're bringing it out so hard and you know, it's the delivery.
Yeah, absolutely. And so, again, that comes in your prophetic training. That comes when you submit and understand how this whole thing works, okay? It's an awesome responsibility to be an oracle for God. Awesome responsibility. And I know some people, you know, they say, well, I didn't ask for it. Okay, that may be true, but it doesn't change the fact that you need to honor it as an awesome responsibility. That may be true. Maybe you didn't ask for it. Maybe you know you feel like that's the worst thing that has happened to you. That may be true. But it's yours. It's your gift. God has given it, and now you have the responsibility for it. Okay? You have the onus for that, because God is watching you, okay, to see what you're going to do. And you don't want to miss heaven because you rejected a gift He's given, and you handled it inappropriately. You don't want to do that. You want to absolutely make sure that you're handling the gift that God gave to you, even if it's something that you didn't want. Okay? I remember being a young prophet. I just wanted to go to the mall and go shopping. I don't want to know about who's sleeping with who and whose marriage is unhappy. I didn't want to hear none of that. Okay, and there was a time when I just would just, you know, had an attitude with God. I'm just going to be honest with you. You know, had my feelings turned inside out and, you know, just felt like God was giving me something that I didn't want, and I rejected it, and it tainted my relationship. It tainted, and I love God. But I found myself withdrawing because I didn't know how to handle the gift. I didn't know how to handle the present. And I was disrespecting God in my ways of handling it. Okay, we don't want to disrespect God. The Bible, again, Amos 3, He's the sovereign Lord. Sovereign means he knows everything. He knows why he gave it to you. He knows the outcome. He knows all of that. He is sovereign, and his will for us is good and not evil. And I needed somebody to tell me that, but I didn't have anybody to tell me that. That's why I'm sharing it with you all tonight. I had to learn that the hard way, that God is sovereign, that he will never give you anything, Norma, that would be detrimental to you. He would never give you anything that you're going to hate and despise for the rest of your life. He wouldn't do it. So I had to learn how to operate the gift. I had to learn, okay, Father, what do I do with this? You just showed me a man who was cheating on his wife. What am I supposed to do? I'm in the mall in the food court, okay? I'm in the mall at the food court. God just showed me a man who was cheating on his wife, and they're sitting two or three tables away from me. What do I do with that information? I'll tell you what I did do. I sat there and I said, okay, I said, God, what do you want me to do with this? I remember this day. I was trying to enjoy something. The Lord showed me, you know, this family. They were sitting and they looked like the perfect family. They looked wonderful, mother, little kids, and husband. The Lord said, he is cheating on her. And I said, okay, Father, what do you want me to do? You want me to go over there and tell them that? What do you do? He says, no, I want you to intercede for her right now and begin to pray. And then I want you to walk past her and lay your hand on her very suddenly, and she won't even know it. And I did exactly that, okay? Not everything that God shows you as it relates to a warning or something negative has to have a negative outcome, has to have a negative, you know, connotation. I went to a church to preach once, and when I walk into the door, and I've shared this on the program before, but maybe some of you have not heard it, but when I walk into the church, I sensed that something wasn't right. So I got changed, you know, put on my robe, went out, preached, had a good time, good altar time in ministry, I prophetically ministered, but as I'm ministering, I could hear God talking to me. So I'm praying for other folks and laying hands on other folks and doing, but I hear God talking to me about the pastor. And I am overwhelmed because the Lord is showing me he is sleeping with the members of the church. I think I laid hands on one of the girls he was sleeping with, and it just fell on me. And so I wrapped it up outside and went back in the office and fell on my knees and just began to weep and cry and wail. And it was so loud back then. The armor bearers came back like a pastor. Father, you okay? I said, go get the pastor. So he went and got the pastor, and I laid it out before him. I said, look, this is what the Lord is showing me, that there's infidelity and that girl is sleeping with you. And he said, Apostle, yep, you're exactly right. Brought his wife in, you know, and from there, you know, was the exposure. Now, could I have exposed it right there, out there, when God showed it to me? Absolutely, I could have. Didn't make it any less truth, and didn't make it any more truth that was revealed. But God wanted healing. He wanted healing for the girl, healing for the wife, healing for the man of God. And even though he was at that particular time a very bad example of a man of God, but he still loved God, and the Lord still loved him, and the Lord used me as a prophet to be able to help bring reconciliation to that ministry, to bring healing through that exposure. So again, you know, God can give you and will give you warnings, but you really need to ask the Lord, you know, what do I do with that? I got off on that because in talking about what the Spirit of the Lord is saying today, in these days, what voice of the Lord is out there, and it is the voice about bringing the body of Christ in alignment and making sure the bride is ready. And in doing that, there will be things that the Lord, as he did in the book of Revelation, you know, of all the churches of Asia Minor, you know, only two got a good report. The rest needed some adjustment. Okay, and so, yes, the Lord will speak some things that we need to align, some things that we need to adjust, and he's given us the tools how to fix it. If we would just, you know, look to Ephesians and use the tools that God has given us to fix the bride, we'll be all right. The Bible says in Ephesians, he gave the apostle, the prophet, the evangelist, pastors, and teachers for the perfecting of the saints, for the work of the ministry, for the edifying of the body of Christ. This is why we have been chosen. to do what we do. Okay, so one of the main threads that, if you will, is a concern for the, you know, for the Father that he is speaking to the seers, and it is about alignment of the church and the bride and everybody associated with it. That means, yep, he's concerned about how apostles are functioning. You know, he's definitely removing, and he's definitely setting up. I see it. I see the removal of those who fail to heed warnings. I see the removal of those that fail to comply with righteousness. And he's removing folks, taking down kings and setting up kings. That's what he does. And so I see that happening. And as it happens, you know, we need to pray. Another strong thread that the Lord is moving upon right now is upon you know, the seers to intercede, or the seers to release words that will activate the intercessors. Intercessors are extremely important. Well, everybody, as you say, Apostle, you said about it. Yeah, I think so. I think every office is on high alert right now, and the intercessors are needed. You know, those who can stand in the gap. I talked about it on This Wise on our Monday night Apostolic Connection call. I talked about countermeasures. You know, when destruction is aimed at us, we can release countermeasures to divert, cause to not happen, those things that would be detrimental to us. I love war movies. I love movies about, well, not war movies, I shouldn't say that. I love movies about like submarines, like Crimson Tide and movies like that. I love movies that talk about command and how everything in a ship or a boat, or even, you know, drill sergeant, how that runs, because I'm an apostle maybe, and they call us generals. Maybe that's the reason. I don't know, but I just love it. But I found out that when a missile is launched at a particular target, you can release what is called countermeasures. These countermeasures, sometimes it's a sound wave. Sometimes it's an actual apparatus. Sometimes it's another missile. But its job is to countermand what's coming at you. And I really sense that the intercessors are our countermeasures as to what the enemy desires to do in the earth. We really have to be alert as intercessors. And I say that to myself because one of the first giftings after the gifting of worship, one of the first giftings that God gave to me was that of an intercessor. And so, you know, I include myself when I say, you know, the responsibility of intercessors is to be alert and to release those countermeasures. Those are the times when the Lord will wake you up, you know, 3 o'clock in the morning, 4:45 in the morning, you know, 1:18, and, you know, you'll get the sense of alertness, okay? And I will tell you, as an intercessor, there are times when the Lord will not tell you specifically what it is. You'll just get an urgency. You'll get a waking up, okay? Don't dismiss those. And even if you're a seer, don't dismiss those. If the Lord wakes you up for a reason, it's alert. Just begin to pray the name of Jesus, the blood of Jesus. And as I'm releasing to you tonight, begin to say, you know, this is I'm coming against whatever is coming against us. Okay, maybe it's over your city, maybe it's over your region, wherever it is. I remember 9/11 like it was yesterday. Because the morning of 9/11 for me was a very strange morning. The Lord woke me up at about 3 something that morning, and I just began to pray over our city. It was almost like I was putting up a dome, a shield, you know, because I love movies and things like that. I thought about the shield that comes over the Star Trek. You know, they say, put your shields up. And I woke up that morning praying for the shield over our city. I remember that was actually the second night. It had happened the night before, and that was the second night of doing it. So I'm up, and you know, because I woke up early that morning, I'm up, you know, and I'm moving about in the house. And when, you know, the reports start coming in that we are under attack, I said, Lord, thank you, because you woke me to protect our city. You know, who, some people will say, well, how, you know, that plane wasn't on that route, that's what, you don't know that, okay? We don't need to try to judge, you know, things. Again, as I said before, you don't want to judge the after effects of what could, would, should. Just do what God is asking you to do, okay? So for those of you in this season, because we already know the enemy's plot, he is plotting, and especially those of you that are listening to us, you know, in Israel, those of you that are listening to us, you know, in Africa, Kenya, under huge attack, those of you in the United States, you know that many people hate the United States, the citizenships there. And so because of that, as intercessors, when you get the alarm, just begin to release countermeasures. Sometimes it is just releasing the name of Jesus. You know, there's sometimes I'm walking about the house or I'm in the car and all of a sudden I'll just say, Jesus, Jesus. You know, you just feel like calling on Jesus. There's power. Come on, y'all. Power in the name of Jesus. Healing in the name of Jesus. Is that just for church? Not so, ma'am. No, sir, sir. This power in the name of Jesus, and when you and I begin to release that power, we release countermeasures. You have no idea what you're saving your house, your city, your region, someplace else. Some of you, God has given authority not only in your own region, but you got authority over other regions. You got the power to bind. Glory to God. You got the power to release. And so in this season, one of the things that God is concerned about is making sure our intercessors are poised in position, making sure our seers are poised in position to be able to release countermeasures, okay? These countermeasures also can come in demonstration where the seers may say, this is what the Lord has said. I've seen this particular people. I've seen this particular group, or I've seen, you know, the enemy's hand against the economy, whatever. And as they release it, get the intercessors and prayer warriors on it. Okay. Point them in the direction of what God wants targeted. Okay. So even in that major span, it does encompass, you know, evangelism, you know, in that span. It does cover, you know, souls being saved, because the Lord wants that. He's not wanting any should perish, not black, white, Chinese, purple, indigo, everybody. And so it will be that some of you may have a lament for the unrighteous, you know, calling sinners to repentance. Doesn't mean that you're off. You know, where others are getting messages for the church and your messages for the world, same heart of God, same what God desires to do, but just a different vein of it, a different thread of it. And so, again, one of another major thing that God definitely wants us to be on the lookout for in this season is to be on high alert in our intercession. It goes without saying, and we've already been saying it, that the positioning of the prophets are essential. You know, literally, the way I see it is that God is just placing entities all throughout the earth, and I see them being placed like on a map. I don't see faces. They look like grayish shadows, and these are those who will stand in position because God is strategically aligning for a great move of God, and it's important that the prophets be in position. Is it important for apostles? Absolutely. Every gift, but I see that there's a movement that is going to be initiated by the prophets. And because of this, it's essential that prophets get to the place where they're supposed to be, that you, not only in the earth, but in the realm of the spirit, get where you're supposed to be, okay? If you've been slack and trying to, you know, elevate, then let me encourage you tonight, get to that position, because you may be holding up the whole plan of God. Amos 3, remember. Sovereign Lord says, I'll do nothing in the earth except I reveal my secrets to the servants, the prophets. So your your alignment, your placement is essential. It's necessary. Okay? It's not just something that God wants you to do just because he wants you to do it. It's essential. It's necessary that you be in position. God definitely wants that. And if I could share one other thing or one last thing tonight, and we're going to again open up the lines for questions, but the level of awareness and intelligence has to increase among the believers. We think too low, okay? And I get it because, you know, again, going back to what we shared earlier, we've not been focusing on the God of the Bible. We've been focusing on the God, and we've made church like entertainment. You know, we made it like fun. In fact, there are some folks that, you know, if church don't have, you know, big screen TVs and flashing light and fog and all of that, then they feel like, you know, it's antiquated and it's old school. But there has to be a return to the God of the Bible to increase our level of intelligence. I'm going to say this apostolically, and some of you may get mad, particularly if you're a pastor. Many churches have dummied down the saint. I mean, just played to the lowest common denominator. We, you know, many pastors play to emotionalism. They play into the desires of what people want. Nobody wants to be broke. Everybody wants to be successful. And so they play into that every Sunday. Every Sunday is about prosperity. The message may start out in, you know, Deuteronomy, but eventually, you know, somebody's going to say, and the Lord said, we are winners. Okay, yeah, that's a given. If we endure to the end, the Bible says, he that endured to the end, the same shall be saved. Yes, we are all winners. Got it. But we're missing the growth and development of people spiritually. You know, the level of spiritual intelligence and acumen for spiritual things is so low across the body of Christ. And God's desire, I can feel that yearning in him, that I need my people to think higher than that. I need my people to come up. You know, I remember when I was younger in the church, and when people would get a prophetic word, it was so like baby steps. And they would say, come up higher, come up higher, come up higher. You know, and we laugh at it sometimes now, but the realities are, you know, that's what they heard, but there was so much in that. Come up higher. Come up higher didn't mean just to praise louder, but come up higher meant to get into the vein of the realm of the spirit and ask God, okay, where do you want to take me? Glory to God. Whoo, where do you want me to go? What do you want to show me? I want to advance. I want to advance and broaden my horizons on spiritual things. There are some of you, I just sense right now, you need to literally move the tent peg. You need to move and enlarge your territory of thinking about spiritual things. You need to put a demand on higher spiritual learning. You got to place a demand on it. And I tell you, the scripture says that he that hunger and thirst after righteousness shall be filled. And I will tell you as a living witness, God will fill you when you have a desire to want to be filled. I'm going to stop right there, Pam, and turn it back over to you. Any questions or comments?
No, there are none on the board. I checked the board thoroughly, and we don't have any questions. I think everybody's just sitting back and receiving the word of the Lord and just, you know, hearing the cry of God's heart for his people to assemble themselves and to, you know, to divinely align themselves with him. I really feel like that's what's going on. But no, I don't have any questions on the board tonight.
Well, amen. Well, that means I don't, you know, I love questions. And but I've learned through surveys that no questions is not a negative thing, that sometimes the weight of what God delivers is enough for you just to absorb it, you know. And I feel a weighty anointing. here among us. I believe that we are among those of the same mindset who desire the deeper things. Yes, deep is calling unto deep. The depth of God, the very deep desire of God for his people of the earth is calling to the deep place in you. And so as we close this program tonight, I want to pray for you. I want to pray for your surrender to that. I want to pray that as you surrender, that the elevation will come, and that in that elevation will come revelation, truth, and insight, and will come a greater boldness to deliver the word of the Lord. Father, thank you for giving us the mindset to pray and to pray for your people and to pray such a prayer. Ooh, my God. And to pray such a prayer over these airways, Father. You said that we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but we wrestle against principalities and powers and rules of darkness, spiritual wickedness in high places. Thank you for the captivating and taking over these airwaves right now. Father, we just speak into the ear of those that have an ear to hear tonight that they are your called and chosen, that they are, Father, your vessels, your utensils for end time ministry. We thank you, Father. We thank you, Lord, that you would use each one of them in their respective regions. We thank you, Father, that those who go about cloaked in garments of disguise, that the mask will come off and that truth will be revealed and exposed in Jesus' name. Thank you, Father, that where there have been fights and struggles against these things that we've named earlier, Father, that there's no more fight or struggle because the blood of Jesus has given us already the victory. So we plead the blood. We thank you for the blood. We apply the blood. We say thank you, mighty Father, for giving us victories over these principalities, these rulers that desire, oh God, to keep the church and the earth into a place, Father. Thank you, almighty Father, for giving us the perspective from heaven's view. Thank you, mighty Father. Woo, you are elevating and you are lifting. And I thank you that you will show the prophets, oh God, that you would reveal to them that time is not long. Lord God, that you are gathering together your saints and we are going home. I thank you, Father, for the tenacity for last minute end time ministry. Lord, sometimes you save the best for last, Lord God, and sometimes with the last comes great responsibility. Lord, the last minute running out the house is the most anxious, Lord. You know how that is, and you're showing me that, when you're the last, you got to grab this and grab that and make sure you got this and make sure you got that and make sure, because you understand. Lord, call the prophets that are on this line tonight. I pray this specifically just for them, that they will understand the urgency and that they will be able to manage your demand for them to get to grab, to make sure, to cause in place, Lord, so that nothing gets left behind. I thank you for this, Lord God. Continue to bless even over the celebration of Thanksgiving, Lord God, as families gather in Jesus' name, as the prophets make their way, Lord God, around tables where there may be some that are not saved. I just pray that their light would so shine and that you would cause a great move of God even around tables, even around dining room tables, picnic tables, coffee tables, on the back porch, in the yard, wherever folks will gather to celebrate Thanksgiving, Lord, let the prophet's light so shine. Let something take place as evidence that Jesus is in the midst. Heal somebody. Yes, Lord God, I know you will. Lord, I know you will. Somebody's going to get sick and have a heart attack, but somebody that's a believer is going to be there to lay hands, and they will recover. Thank you for it, Father. Salvation will take place. Some niece, nephew, uncle, cousin, auntie, mama, daddy will get saved over this holiday session. And we thank you. And we thank you, Lord God, if you delay in coming, then we'll be right back here again on another Wednesday night, sharing revelational truth and insight for the advancement of the believer. We thank you for this and honor you for this in Jesus' name. Amen. Pam, any announcements before we go out?
Yes, ma'am. Well, just like you said, you know, next week is our Thanksgiving holiday, and we're so thankful for another season where we can spend time with our families and love on each other and just spend some quality time resting and getting some rest. But also when you come back on December 2nd, we're going to have Dr. Sandy Murphy with us, and she's going to be speaking on the carnal normal. That was a title that she wanted to speak on. So I'm very excited about her. I have no idea what she's going to share, but I'm sure that that Dr. Murphy is going to bring home that message. So, you know, the season is already winding down, Apostle. We only have about 3 shows left in the season, and this has been a phenomenal season.
It really has. We've got some wonderful guests, and the Spirit of the Lord certainly has moved over these lines, even as he has moved tonight. So listen, you all, enjoy the holidays, and remember to come back. Follow us on Facebook. I tell you what, to never miss a show, all you have to do is go to blogtalkradio.com/TheGrayMatter and follow us. If you follow us on the show, you will never miss a show. And also, if you follow us on Facebook, Pam, make sure you'll never miss a show. This is Apostle Gray and my able-bodied assistant, Pamela Wright, saying to you, happy Thanksgiving. Enjoy yourselves, and we'll see you December 2nd if the Lord delays in coming. God bless you all. Have a great night.
Thank you for listening. Join us again next week for another empowering experience on The Gray Matter Show.